Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the weather has been, we've had a lot of rain, and there have been tornadoes a little to the west of us, and we don't anticipate any here, but truth of the matter is that we really are in prayer for all of the people in Alabama, Tennessee, and Mississippi who are still going through some of these things. Now, these things are tough. It's not a tornadoes are nothing to sneeze about. That is for sure. Now, as I so often do, I like to start the program off with a prayer, and this is something that I posted on my blog, Pushing Jesus. If you just Google Pushing Jesus, you can find it all over the place. The name of the prayer is, Life Can Be Terrifying, Even for Believers. Father, sometimes I'm so afraid my skin grows cold and I can hardly breathe. I feel so helpless and cut off, even from you. I'm afraid of so many things, of people, of places, and especially of being isolated. Death and economic insecurity terrify me. Lord, the list never seems to end, and I am powerless to calm my fears, which rob me of sleep and of my serenity. Without your help, without your assistance, I fear that imminent destruction will be my destiny and my portion in life. I'm so consumed with fear that it's hard to hear your voice, which would reassure me. In my heart, I know you are my refuge. You are my fortress, and I can trust you completely. In you, I am safe and sheltered from the storm, which threatens every aspect of my being. Help me to stand tall without shrinking away, dreading the future and all that it might hold. Calm my fears and teach me to face life confidently. Amen. This is the these are the kinds of prayers that people actually can feel, but rarely articulate. Because we live in a society where people, Christians particularly, are not experiencing the kind of life that they say they are. And Stacy, I know that you're on the line. Robert isn't here yet, but let me just say hello to you. How are you?
Hey, Jack, I'm great. In the midst of all of the winds here in Florida.
There are a lot of winds. And you know,
yeah, we're having like storm winds, hurricane winds. So,
really?
Yeah, it blew a hanging plant off of my balcony.
Well, the reason for all of this is that the weather has gotten warm fast, and we have not had, and that clashes with the cold weather, you know, that we've had, so this is ends up what's happening. Robert, I see that you're on the line now. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good.
Well, I'm thrilled.
I thought we'd talk about something that's come up a couple times in the last few weeks. That I've seen, all right? And it's a question. Is it possible to have faith and be pessimistic?
Yes.
In what way? How would you do that?
To have faith and be pessimistic?
Yeah.
Well, if you were looking at what the future holds, and particularly prophetically, I think that many people, you know, believe that the end times are upon us and that they are not really looking for society to get better or but for things to decline as the end times approach. So I'd say that particularly a premillennial, pre-tribulational, dispensational worldview is by nature pessimistic. Now,
okay, let me ask you another follow-up question.
Okay.
Can you give me an example from Scripture where someone was pessimistic, negative, and that was a good deal in their relating to God? So all you've talked about so far is what happens around us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, people have to get
well,
over the fact that they were responsible for everybody
in
the world.
Robert, wait, hold on 1 second. I'm not necessarily, personally, I think that what I have said is exactly how people feel and that it produces a negative worldview for them. Do I think that that is a correct one? No. Do I think that it is the operational worldview of believers? Yes. So
okay, but the
question is there, but it isn't right. All right, so now
well,
go ahead. I just want to be clear
well,
about this.
But that means they're not exercising faith. Faith is a relationship term. It has to do with you're in a foxhole with God. God says, I'm going to take care of you. Do you sleep that night? Yeah, probably. You believe God, right? It doesn't really matter what's going on around you. It's who's with you. It allows you to get through and be positive, right? I saw a movie, I don't know, not hardly a week ago, called, I think it was Draft Day with Kevin Costner, right?
Yeah.
And it was about a GM for the Cleveland Browns. Now, that would get you pessimistic right there, but anyhow. This is all fictional, okay? He was theoretically having to go on draft day with a number one pick, right? And the club owner basically told him, you either draft this quarterback, which everybody thought was the greatest thing in the world, all right, or I'm firing you. And so he said, all right. So he's on the phone with the Seattle Seahawks. Right? And the Seattle Seahawks guys recognize this guy's in a real bind and he's going to have to do business with him. Right? And so they don't ask him for 2 first-round picks. They ask him for 3, right? Which is just unheard of. But he was up against the wall, so he agreed to it. Okay? And fast forward, we go... At the end, when the actual draft day, he doesn't draft the big-time quarterback. He drafts a linebacker, right? To it, all the other teams go, oh, wow, there must be something wrong with this quarterback, right? And so they skip him. And they skip, and they skip. And so now it's back down to the Seattle Seahawks get to pick. Now their fans have gone nuts on them for trading away their big quarterback that they thought they were going to get there. So what the Costner character does is he gets his 3 first round picks back plus 1, right? Because now the shoe is on the other foot, and. I've gone through something very similar to that probably several times in my life, but just recently with some people who thought they had me in a box until God took down the wall of the box and said, I don't think so, right? Now,
yeah.
During that period of time, I've had many opportunities to be a little bit miffed about things. But, you know, I believe God's working things out. If you really believe God's working things out, and he loves you, and he cares for you, and he's the mighty creator of the universe, then what are you pessimistic about, right? And why are we focused on the very short term of what's happening next, right? I mean, we may not, what we're going to go through may not be particularly pleasant that we have to go through, but that's not what happens. The environment inside of us is what dictates how we go through what we go through. It's not the environment on the outside of us. It's the environment on the inside of us. And that's what God takes care of. If we have, I mean, there have been many, many examples of people who are just in excruciating pain and just, you know, things, and people look at them and go, oh, man, I'm glad I'm not them. I feel sorry for them, but I'm glad I'm not them. And they don't say that out loud, but that's what they're thinking. And
yeah.
And yet the person who's going through this seems to have it together. And they go, man, I don't understand that one. How could you have it together going through what you're going through? Well, it's who's in the foxhole with you that counts, right? It's who's there. And I really believe, independent of all this mess that's going on right now, that we haven't seen anything yet, okay, in terms
right.
of hard times. It's coming. And there's just no getting around it. For the last probably 10 years, I have really suffered from diabetes, all kinds of different ways. Been to the cardiac ward at the hospitals more times than I can count, almost. And all of a sudden, God intervenes. He gets me, and the worst thing was not what happened to me in those operating rooms. It was what happened to me afterward, being just dead tired, not having any real zip, and not thinking very
yeah.
well. And
yeah.
So I got introduced to a system called Trina, which basically, they call it an artificial pancreas treatment. See, the liver is what sends out the enzymes that allow your cells to burn whatever you've eaten, right? And what diabetes does is shut the liver isn't seeing the signals to send out the enzymes, right? Because the pancreas, when the pancreas recognizes there's something in your system that needs some insulin, it spurts it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what occurs at that point is it does it in a specific way. It's a signal to the liver, okay, there's stuff out there to burn up. Send your enzymes out so the cells can do it. Well, if your liver isn't functioning correctly, it's just not happening. And so you're tired and you're draggy and you're miserable. And that I had gone through many years of that. At the same time, I really felt like God was going to deliver me from that. I didn't know how. So I didn't have faith in a particular. See, one of the things that happens is people begin to have faith in an event. You can't have faith in an event. You can hope for an event. See, there's a difference between faith and hope. Faith is a relationship term between ourselves and the Father, where we accept what he says is true, and that goes into our calculus of how we're going to live life. Hope is a generalized anticipation that God's going to come through, but we don't know specifically how he's going to do it. So some people are hanging around hoping or are waiting to have faith in some event, and they haven't got it yet. And now they're really miserable because they don't have anything, so they try to drum up a little faith in something. So that's where you get all these people
who, that's a really good point. That's a really good point because people are looking specifically for events, for things to transpire, for things to happen. Right now, it might be, people are, hoping that the Senate changes hands so that, you know, that there's a firm check on President Obama. That's a specific thing that people are hoping for, and it is an event. And but not that, you know, God is going to come through for us as a nation. That's a little bit different. They, you know, well, and they, you, I think that my original thing, you know, has some merit here about the worldview that is by nature pessimistic. It says that, you know, that God comes through, but that there is that it's a hopeless situation in events until he does. That's how they view life. Millions, hundreds of millions of evangelicals view life that way.
Well, faith can only be invested in the Father. That's all. It can't be invested in an event. It can't be. It surely can't be invested in a person. I mean, how many times have we seen that one?
Yes. Yes, we get that one wrong.
Okay, so So we can't have those going on. But what we can do is we can seek God, and sometimes he doesn't tell us what we can have faith in yet. And that really irritates some Christians because God hadn't told them how he's going to deal with this thing. Well, you know, that's sort of tough. That's just what the cards that were dealt. God says, no, I'm not going to give you something to have faith in. You can have hope in me that I'm a loving, caring Father, and I've told you that, and if you look back at your life, you'll see the number of times I've come through for you. But you cannot have faith until I can tell you what I'm going to do, because the faith is in something specifically that God has revealed to you, period. But you can, hope is not a bad thing. I mean, how many people today would trade not knowing if they had hope? Do you understand the transition there?
Yeah.
I mean, most people would say, okay, if I can have hope, even though I don't know how he's going to do it, I can have hope in him. That will get me through the day and tonight. And that's all. That's the reason he says we only take one day at a time.
I think of the thousands of days in my life, thousands, literally, of many thousands of when
tens of thousands.
I really didn't know what to do or how to do something, and all I could do was the next right thing. And when you do that consistently over time, a couple of things happen. You know, it becomes habit, and which is a good thing. You know, it's essentially the working out of the Protestant work ethic. But also, things do happen, and I think that just as I'm thinking about this and you're talking about it, I think that it would be a good exercise for people, probably us too, to just think back of when we were young and first believed, and the things that we really thought God had, you know, put into us, and just know that some of them were grandiose, but many of them were real. The grandiose stuff gets burned away. The others is true fulfillment.
The thing about it is, hope can only, I mean, we have a very wonderful situation in that we can have hope in the Lord. We can't have hope in, we still can't have hope in an event. What are we talking about here? I mean, we're not doing witchcraft here. We are doing our walk with the Lord, and sometimes we know what's going on, sometimes we don't.
Yeah,
and we at the end of the day, we have to say, well, that's sort of his business, I guess.
Well, it is.
What we really get
that. That's exactly right. It is his business. And as far as sometimes we know what's going on and sometimes we don't, it's more like occasionally we know what's going on, but most of the time we don't.
But we still can be at peace, even though we don't know what he's going to do. Now, if you had a child and they looked at you as going to be the ones going to take care of them, et cetera, et cetera, it wouldn't be particularly helpful for them to worry all the time, would it?
Mm-mm. No.
And yet most Christians just worry their heads off about this, that, and the other, and typically over things that they couldn't do anything about anyway, right? Instead of waiting to see what God wanted to do and how he was going to treat them in this process. All I'm saying is that, look, the environment around us is going to be really, really tough, right? When people hear that, they go, oh, no, don't say that. No, it is. It's going to be really tough, right? But that doesn't matter. God made us for tough times. That's what he did. Now, for some Christians, what they go is, well, none of this is ever going to work out. Nothing's going to work out. This is awful. Nothing's working out. Well, and so they become real passive, and they become like a little rock, and they say, well, I'm just going to endure here, and that's all. No, that's not the other part of the coin either, right? What we're to do is simply to, the term in Scripture is rest. I was listening to Joseph Prince the other day, and he was talking about Lazarus, right? And his question was, what did Lazarus do to be raised from the dead?
Nothing.
That's right. That's right. He did not do one thing. Right? And so all the time we sit around and we wonder, what am I supposed to do? What do I do next? If I do this five times, how many times do I have people sit down to pray and they go, I am going to pray. I'm going to pray so hard it makes the angel sweat. And so they had a little shouting with their praying, and they think, you know, well, that will do it. A mutual friend of ours told me one time, well, I know God came through because we did a prayer walk around a certain property, then that sold. And it wouldn't have sold if you hadn't done the prayer.
Kind of like it's Jericho?
Yeah. No, I know a lot of believers do prayer walks. I don't have a problem with that if God told them to do it. But if they think, aha, I have the key to God, I am going to be able to get him to do some things. Do you know how many Christians think that they can actually force God's hand? A lot of them do, right?
Well, I've done that. I married a girl one time, really essentially knowing it wasn't God's will, saying, once it's done, he'll honor it. And he never did. Now, I did that.
He did honor it. He made your life miserable.
Oh, my goodness.
He taught you never to do that one again.
And just by the way, folks, that's in my book, Hi, My Name is Jack, which is on our website, mcgeeandme.net. But, that was really funny. Go ahead.
So, I don't know. I am around
Christmas. He did honor it. He made my life miserable. Oh, my goodness.
Well, he did. If he hadn't made your life miserable, no telling what you'd be doing right now.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, folks, all of you out there, just know this. We don't plan these things and, you know, all of a sudden I get that kind of humor. Because that was really funny. Really funny. Go ahead,
One time
Robert.
I was complaining to Robert that I hadn't gotten an answer to my prayer. And he said, well, Stacy, you did get the answer. And the answer was no.
Yeah.
And I'm here believing and believing and believing, and the answer was no.
Well, you know, the Lord says no a lot. And it's a good parent says no to a child about 150 times to one. And it's because the parent knows better. I mean, that's really a good analogy if you think about it. A good parent says no most of the time.
Well, it's like that country song about the guy who thanks God that he broke the relationship up with this woman before he married her. I forgot the name of it, but it's really a pretty decent song. I love country music because they actually tell a story instead of just grunt and groan.
They do.
Yeah, some of the stories are not repeatable, but at least it's sort of entertaining.
Yes.
Folklore.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, anyhow, there's all kinds of – Satan is after doing one thing, and that is to interfere with our relationship with the Father. That's all. Right? And to keep us from relating to him. I mean, he did it from the get-go. I mean – people had some insane belief that when Jesus said, Peter, you are the rock, that he was the father of the church. Pardon me, where did the Holy Spirit come into this deal, all right? And and they had all kinds of people that, you know, man, it's just a crazy animal. They come up with, we can screw up anything, and we usually do, all right? So, but the point being is I know a lot of believers who are walking around telling me that they have faith, and they are some of the most pessimistic people I can think of, all right? And I go, this, I hope it's not contagious because I don't want to catch that kind of faith.
All right, let's get a little bit linear here for a second. People that are listening are thinking, well, am I pessimistic? And, you know, and by and large, they are, but they don't really want to admit it. What questions, let's think of like three questions that they can ask themselves that they could write down about so that they would come to an answer about this. Can you think of any?
Yeah. One is, are you anticipating God coming through? Are you anticipating it? I mean, if you're not anticipating God coming through, then how is that faith?
Okay, then that's definitely a textbook definition of why you would be pessimistic.
Well, but that's the thing you're going to ask yourself is, as you go through this day, are you, first of all, every time something goes wrong, do you go all negative crazy, right? I know people that anything that goes wrong, they're just, I mean, they're not down the dumps. They have crawled in a hole under the dump, right? And it's like something happens. They go, well, what went wrong? What happened? What went wrong, right? And I go, well, nothing actually, I don't think. I mean, God's still on his throne, best I can tell.
See, they make themselves like what they do as the determining thing, and it really isn't. And you know, it ascribes power to man that man absolutely does not have. We're gonna have to pick this up a little bit next week because we've got less than a minute now. Stacy, tell everybody where they can go to get our stuff, and we got a bunch of it. Go ahead.
Our beautiful new website is www.mcgeeandme.net. mcgeeandme.net. And our phone number is
800-460-4673. And Jack, for anybody,
by the way, folks, I'm going to start posting our radio shows on our fan page, which is Search for Significance on Facebook. Anyway, but we are out of time. So we'll pick this up again next week. So let me just say, Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Stacy. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.
Good night.